Welcome back to Access, everybody. Shalom, friends. Shalom. How are you all doing today? Great, awesome. You know, I just had to wear the shirt today. My wife got me this wonderful shirt. I love it. Shalom in this place, hey? How are you all feeling today? Good, all right. I know a bunch of people getting over the coughs, the sniffles, the allergies, you know. Some people getting over COVID. But I'm just so glad that you're here today. You're not here by accident. You know, I put out a schedule of when we gather here in this building. And once again, praise gathering like this happens only once a month. Okay? On the other weeks, we do have classes. And I'd like to invite you to those classes. Feel free to come. It's very informal. You bring your Bible, you bring a pad of paper, something to write with, and we hang out in the fellowship hall, and it's like a classroom. We have tables, we have things to drink, some refreshments, but most of all, we dig deeper into God's Word, and we start to talk about some very difficult things. So if that's you today and you want to go a little deeper in study, I really invite you to come to those classes, okay? If you're not part of a home group yet, or an Access community, please, please get involved. Get together with an Access community. If you don't know where to find them, you could start your own. And we're going to be here to support you all the steps of the way, okay? Some people start only with their own family, right? They'll invite a few siblings. Maybe they'll start with their neighbors or their coworkers. A small group of 4 or 5 people. It doesn't take much to get started, but it takes a lot more to keep going the course, all right? Can I get these papers? You know what? I'll just do the slides. Thanks, man. We have a short talk today, and our talk today is entitled, Are You In? Are You In? Have you ever been invited somewhere, maybe a birthday, a graduation, maybe a wedding? Sometimes it's a class reunion, or maybe a family reunion, and you get a formal sort of invitation, okay? And this formal invitation comes in a beautiful envelope, right? And you open it up, and it was so carefully put together, and it has your name on it. This invitation is addressed to you. There's something special when you go to the mailbox, and you see something with your name on it, and it's not a bill, all right? It's not a bill that you have to pay, but it's somebody, you recognize the name. Somebody's inviting me, my friend, my family, they're inviting me to something special. And with great anticipation, you open it up, you want to see what this is all about. And there's something called an STD. An STD? Do you know what an STD is? Not the one that you catch and you get worried about. The STD, the save the date, right? They want you to know, save this date, it's important. I'm setting this time aside, and I hope that you will set it aside so we can be together on this date. STD, save the date, okay? And then you get the invitation, and the invitation is to you. It has your name on it. They handwrite it out, so you know it's special. And then, of course, all the information. When is it? Where is it? What is it for? Is it for a wedding? What is it for? And another card will show up in that little envelope, usually. And it's an RSVP card. Sometimes it comes with its own little return envelope. All right? They want you to mail back your response. RSVP, if you don't know, they're waiting for your response. It comes from the French phrase, répondez s'il vous plaît. Wow, I sound very Canadian. Répondez s'il vous plaît. It means, in English, it's very polite. It's a polite request. They're not saying, you better answer me. I need to know. They say, please reply. That's what it means. Please respond. And then they'll give you a yes or no. Will you be attending? How many will be attending? Or, sorry, my regrets. I will not be able to make it. They give you options, and all you have to do is tick it off, put the number of people from your family that are attending. It's great, okay? Now, in our Access group, in our Access community, I would put out an invitation. I wouldn't mail it out because we would meet weekly. And every week, I make sure that I would put out that invitation. And I say, guys, you know what? Here, this is what I say in my text message, either on WhatsApp or on Facebook Messenger. I put out this sort of invitation. Hey, you beautiful people. How are you, friends? Hope your week has been going well thus far. It's Wednesday, which means time for access. We'll be meeting tonight from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Come prepared to share how God has been revealing himself to you this week. Feel free to bring some food to share. And then I always end with, who's in? A big who's in? And everybody would reply, in. I'll be there. See you. It might be a thumbs up. Some people will just say out, which means they can't make it. They don't give an excuse. They don't give a reason. I just need to know, are you coming or are you not coming? All right? This is helpful in our access community because, well, are we still waiting for people to show up? You don't want to wait around. We want to honor everybody's time, right? So having this information, having a response, is very helpful to the host, right? So my wife and I would normally host our access group in our home, and we would like to know, should we prepare some food to eat? Should we prepare, make sure we have enough seats out for everybody that's coming? Maybe have some spare Bibles ready for whoever will be here, all right? So we want to know, it's helpful to the host to know if you're coming or if you're not coming. Should we expect you? Should we not expect you? Now, even if someone in the group replied, oh, I'm out, they might physically not be with us. It doesn't mean that they're not part of our group. They know that we still love them. They send in their praise reports and their prayer requests, and we remember them at our time of prayer. All right. And whenever somebody was missing, we felt it around that table. We just knew the dynamic was different. There was something missing whenever somebody in our group was not present. Okay. However, unfortunately for whoever is out, who's not in attendance, well, they miss out on what's happening at the event. Okay. You just miss out. It doesn't mean they're not loved, it doesn't mean they're not cared for, but it means they don't get to partake and enjoy being part of everything that's going on at that event. You miss out, okay? Now, today, we're talking about, through Scripture and through the Messianic writings, invitations that God has for us, okay? And he has an invitation for everybody. Okay, this is one of the first invitations, and if you want to take some notes on your phone, feel free. Take down the verses that we're doing. Take down the points. We don't give handouts anymore. I don't know how many people to expect at praise gathering. I don't want to prepare too many paper, and then, you know, it goes to waste. So the first one is, come you who are weary. It's an invitation to rest. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all of you who are struggling and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is Yeshua speaking, okay? And he says, come, if you're struggling, if you're burdened, if you're weary. Now, just this week alone, almost everybody that I've spoken to, I'm like, hey, how's it going? How have you been? And they're like, it's okay. I'm good. I'm okay. And you just know that there's a weight. You just see the burden that they're carrying. This week, oh, I got to be honest, it was a week. You know, and you just feel that weight. How are you guys doing today? Great. Awesome. You know, when you get asked a question, you switch gears. Oh, I'm awesome. I'm great. Life is good. But God doesn't look at our outward stuff. He's looking at our heart. He knows if you're tired. He knows if you're weary. And he invites you to come to him and rest. Now, he doesn't say, come to me and sleep on the pew and just let yourself go. He says, Come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I have something to offer you. Okay? Sometimes we think the invitation is just come. Come and check it out. Right? Have you ever been to a party? You know you didn't want to be there, but you replied, yes, I'll be there anyway, because you're being polite. And you walk in the doors and you're just like, oh, this is different. I don't want to be, oh, what sort of decorations? What are they serving? You know, and you're just there to check it out. You haven't replied and you're like, yes, I'm in full attendance. I'm celebrating with you. You're like, I'm coming to judge everything that you're doing. Okay? We've all been there. We've all done it at some point, okay? But here, there's an invitation to take my yoke upon you. You need to receive something from God. When you come to him, you want to experience that rest? You're like, well, I went to God. I laid down all my burdens. I complained to him when I prayed, and I don't feel rest. We forget that part. Take my yoke upon you. I have something better. You need to let go of all that stuff. Lay it down, but put this on instead. Take my yoke. Remember we talked about this? What's a yoke? In the agricultural sense, there would be two beasts plowing a field, and there would be a yoke, a harness over both of them that keeps them in line so that they walk step in step with each other, that they move together. No one's racing ahead, nobody's lagging behind. If one starts to lag, the yoke will keep them in step with each other. If one's trying to race ahead, it slows them down and says, hold on, keep in step with me. So Yeshua is saying, listen, take my yoke upon you, keep in step with me. Don't race ahead because you think you learned something new and you're going to tell everybody. You still have so much to learn from me, Yeshua says. Slow down. Enjoy walking step by step with your Messiah. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's the next invitation? Let's look at this. The next invitation is, come you who are thirsty. Anybody thirsty? Yeah, physically thirsty, absolutely. Somebody asked me, what are you going to have to drink? I say, coffee. Right away, coffee. And then I think, wait, but you know what? Water's probably better. So I switch to water. What are you thirsty for in your soul? Right? We have our preferences, our tastes. I know I want coffee, but I know water's better for me. I know I want coffee, but it's not going to quench my thirst the way that a cool cup of refreshing water is going to quench my thirst. It satisfies something in me, but that's a desire for the coffee, not a desire for the water. But the water does what I hope the coffee would do for me. Following? Check out this invitation. Isaiah 55, verse 1. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You without money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money. It's free. Huh? This guy sounds a little confused. Hey? What do you mean? You have no money, but you're telling him to buy something? Hey, I got water over here. Buy it from me. Oh, you have no money? Go away. No water for you? No, it's not like that. Okay, this understanding of buying, it means that you're going to receive something. Okay, when you go to a store and you purchase something with your credit card or cash, and you purchase it, that item that's being purchased, who does it now belong to? It belongs to you. Not for anybody else. It's for you. So when you come and you buy this water, you buy it and it's yours. You drink it. It'll satisfy you. Okay? There's a very personal connection with this invitation. Just like that invitation card gets put out, it has your name on it. If somebody invites my wife to a baby shower, and it only has her name on it, and she says, are you coming? I said, honey, I'm not invited. That's for you. That's your invitation. You go. You enjoy. Right? Nobody else could drink the water for you. Once you go and you have the intention to receive it, that's for you. It shows a desire. It shows a willingness to take what's being offered. Okay? All who are thirsty, come to the water. You without money, don't worry if you don't think you have what it takes to receive this, because it's free. Just come. Buy wine and milk. Without money, it's free. Let's look at the next one. Come, you who are thirsty. John 7, 37 to 39. Now, this is happening during a festival where all the Jews would pilgrim and go back to Jerusalem, and they would have their time there. And these festivals, this is a long festival called Sukkot. And on the last day of the festival, it's a week-long festival. On the seventh day, this is the context of where this is taking place. And Yeshua is speaking. Now, on the last day of the festival, Hoshana Rabbah, Yeshua stood and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drinking." Let's just stop there. If anyone is thirsty, let him do what? Keep coming to me and drinking. It doesn't say, come to me once, drink one cup, and you're good. No, he says, keep coming. Keep drinking. Okay? Whoever puts his trust in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being. Isn't that beautiful? The rivers of water will flow through you when? When you trust. There's another exchange going on there. There's an agreement. We could say we believe in God. Sometimes we just say we believe about him, but we don't trust him, all right? Somebody's serving you food, and you don't eat it because you don't trust the person that made it for you. You know, you're right here, so I keep thinking of my wife. She comes to me, and she says, oh, do you want some of this? She made something. So she didn't make it for me. She just made it, and she's sharing it with me. At least that's how she approaches it. And she goes, oh, you want some of this? And then she'll start critiquing it before I even get a bite. She goes, oh, it might be too salty. If you want, you could add this and that. And it's like, relax, I'll eat whatever you give me, you know? Because I trust her. I also know her flavors are very different from mine. And she loves garlic, and she loves spices and all this other stuff. So when I put it in my mouth, it's a little strong, all right? She doesn't trust her own cooking when she cooks for me. She trusts her cooking when she cooks for herself. So she has no problem eating it. Although I will eat her food, I do so cautiously, sometimes reluctantly. And if I could smell something odd, I just, you know what? You go ahead, you enjoy it. All right? Trust has a huge impact on how we receive things. Okay? Trust has a huge impact on how you receive things. There's a part in the Bible that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you taste and see that he's good, you're going to know how you relate to that experience of God. When you start walking and obeying his word, you start to see what an impact that has in your life. Okay? But you won't know it until you start walking it. You won't know it until you taste for yourself and see that he's good. All right? Yeshua stood and cried out, if anyone's thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drinking. Whoever puts his trust in me, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being. And what's he talking about here? Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who trusted were to receive later, because the Spirit had not yet been given, because Yeshua had not yet been glorified. Okay? Drinking of the Spirit. Yeshua says, if you're thirsty, come, drink of me. We're told to drink of one Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And we're all united by that one Spirit. To drink in this sense, you're like, what do you mean drink? How could you drink a person? How could you drink God's Spirit? Think of the action of drinking. When you put it in your body, you're receiving that into your body. And it affects everything that's going on in your body. All the parched areas, it gets replenished. It becomes refreshed. It awakens. It comes alive. And you receive that into yourself, into your soul. And God refreshes your soul. His Spirit moves within you, okay, to awaken things. And once you develop that taste for what he's pouring out over you, friends, believe me, you don't want to thirst for anything else. You develop a thirst that only he could satisfy. Isn't this beautiful? The invitation to those who are thirsty to come, it's an invitation to quench your spiritual thirst. Okay? Sometimes we think, if I had a little more money, if I had a nicer car, if I had a bigger house, if I had a better job, if I had a better looking partner, maybe I'll be satisfied. Yeah.
Can I just share an observation about what Yeshua offers in Matthew and in general about the certainty of what he offers? He says, I will give you rest. There's no doubt about that. Living waters will flow. It's an imperative. It's with certainty and confidence. So when we trust, we know we will receive.
When we trust that he is who he is, he does what he says he's going to do, he's a faithful God, we learn to trust him. He's a God that promises and he keeps his promises. He doesn't go back on his word. Thank you so much for that. And it's so true. But until we learn that, until we learn to trust that what he has is good for us, that he could provide everything that we need, everything we didn't even know we wanted? Can you trust him? Okay. And he's offering it, remember? It's free. Check out this one, Revelation 22, verse 17. This is the very last chapter in your Bible. If you flip through it, Revelation is the last chapter. And at the end of time, at this end of the world, there's this time where the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. And let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life free of charge. Now, who's the Spirit here? This is the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay? We drink of God through his Spirit, okay? And the bride, who's his bride? It's not the imperfect church. Remember, the bride at the end time, the bride is pure, made clean, has been washed, white robe of righteousness. Sometimes we assume now that we are that bride that's being spoken of in Revelation. We think, oh, because I believe in Yeshua, guess what? I'm there, I'm good, I'm the bride, he's gonna marry me with all my imperfections. Guess what? He doesn't want your imperfections. You always hear, oh, but God wants me the way I am. Guess what? He wants you, but he doesn't want all your imperfections. Oh, but God loves me, so I could just keep going on being the way that I am, right? No. Did Yeshua sit down with the tax collectors and the prostitutes to hang out with them and tell them, listen, I love you, keep doing what you're doing great? Nope. He sat down with the cheaters, with the adulterers. He sat down with the sinners. And he said, I love you. Go and sin no more. I see you. You look tired. Come to me and I'll give you rest. It looks like you want something more out of life, something that you think this world has to offer you. Guess what? You're thirsty for something. Come to me and I will satisfy that thirst. Trust in me. We're going to be studying a lot more about Revelation in the weeks to come. Okay? Come and join our Access class where we learn together, and we'll go deeper in study there. I don't want to overwhelm you today. But the good news here, let anyone who wishes take the water of life free of charge. There's nothing that you have that is equal in value to what God is offering. So you can't show up and pay him and say, I want a ticket to what it is you're offering. He gave you an invitation and he says, listen, it's free. Just come. And when you get here, don't worry about what you're wearing. I'm going to give you something to wear. I'm going to give you my yoke. I'm going to give you my robe. You put on Yeshua. You put on Christ. He doesn't want to see your imperfections there. He makes you clean. He'll wash you at the doorway. Remember what Yeshua did with his disciples before they shared their last meal together? He washed their feet, and they sat at that big banquet table and shared a meal with Messiah. He's going to do the same thing. That was a picture of what's to come in the future. He washes you clean, and he has a big banquet table ready for you, and he invites you to come. If you trust in him, he offers his spirit to unite you unto him. And we could all sit together at that table and enjoy that big wedding feast with him.
Very interesting, in the beginning of New Testament in Matthew, right after Revelation, we find this invitation of come mm-hmm. to search the people. Mm-hmm. I think the Creator knew. When he created us, we had a need for water, 70% of our body. A need for water. And yet what is the highlight here is the need of the living water.
Amen.
Free of charge. From beginning to end.
That's right. That's right. He, you know what? There's so much in our physical world. There's a concept called the reality of duality. It was coined by Bible teacher Tom Bradford. He calls it the reality of duality. And there's so much that we experience in our physical world that helps us understand the spiritual implications of what God wants to reveal to us. So if we look at the design, remember, at Shabbat, it's a time for us to remember our Creator and all that he's created. And we stand in awe and wonder of all his mighty works, everything that he crafted, everything he created. Because in creation is a revelation of who he is, okay? And he wants you to discover that. So even if you don't believe in him right away and you want to start looking, there's so many scientists, atheists, that go and try to prove that God's not there. But the more and more that they get deeper into their study and they start to break atoms apart even more and they realize, I can't understand this. Scripture says, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in him, right? Don't lean on your own understanding. Go to the Creator that created it all, and he will reveal, okay? I love that reality of duality. Let's go to the last invitation here. It's found in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. Come sacrificially. Then to everyone he said, if anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself. Take up his execution stake daily and keep following me. Okay. For whoever tries to save his own life will destroy it. But whoever destroys his own life on my account will save it. What will it benefit a person if he gains the whole world but destroys or forfeits his own life? For if someone is ashamed of me and of what I say, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory, and that of the Father and of the holy angels. But wait. I thought that what God was inviting me to is free, right? What's this about coming sacrificially? Guys, a sacrifice isn't your payment. A payment's already been made, so that you can come freely. All right? Somebody already prepared a place and prepared your spot and made sure that there's enough provision for you if you decide to RSVP and put your trust in Him. Okay? There's nothing that you could offer God to earn your place at His table. Okay? But Yeshua paid that sacrifice. And when He says, follow Me, He's calling us to sacrifice as well. Not for payment, but because everything that He has to give you so freely is so great and so big, if you keep hanging on to whatever you're coming with, you can't contain what He's going to give you. All right? Here's my cup. I got coffee in here. Fill me up, you say. And the barista starts to pour a bit more coffee in my cup. But it's cold. Because He just gave me a little bit of warm coffee. I said, excuse me, I want hot coffee. He says, why don't you dump that cup out and I'll give you a new one. Sounds good to me. But I paid for this first cup. I don't want to waste it. And He goes, don't worry, this cup is free of charge. Get rid of yesterday's coffee and receive a new pot. Maybe coffee is not the best thing to... But you get it, right? You got to let go of what you have. You got to strip it off. Take off the old man and put on Christ. Take off the dirty clothes and get that fresh robe. Let go of your old habits and learn His ways. Stop walking in the dark alley. Start walking in the light. You see, there's an exchange that happens. This invitation to come in His presence, this invitation to walk with Him, means you gotta stop living the way you were. Go and sin no more. So simple. The concept is simple, yes? Do you agree? Simple concept. So why can't we do it? We still struggle. And this brings me back to the first invitation. We still struggle with sin. As long as we're in this world, we're still going to have to face a world of sin. We're still going to have to face the darkness that might still lurk in our hearts. Okay? That's why the invitation to come and rest speaks to me. That's why the invitation to drink from Him, all right, refresh me. And keep coming back and keep drinking and keep coming back and keep drinking, because you can't live on yesterday's manna. He's giving you something fresh and something new today. So keep coming back. Keep being filled. Amen. That's so good. Thank you for that. You know, coming sacrificially, it's a constant letting go and letting God. Have you heard that one? Let go, let God. Yeah? What are you letting go of? Let go and let God. It's letting go of our urges to control and direct our own lives, and letting God lead us and show us and order our steps, all according to His will. We say, Father, Your will be done, not mine. Let go and let God. Now, this might be a scary thing for some people. All right, if you're like me, it's a scary thing. I wouldn't say I'm a control freak, but I do have some control issues. Sometimes we want to know, well, where is God going to take me? Where are we going? Right? You want to know all the answers before you even take a step toward Him. Because you want him to satisfy your knowledge, but you're not willing to take a step and taste for yourself. It's like looking at the buffet table when you go to a restaurant. And when you walk by, you're just perusing and you're looking. I think I'm going to have that later. I think I'm going to come back and put more of that on my plate. And you're just looking, but you haven't tasted anything yet. And you think that what you see is what you want, so you put it on your plate and you take a big heaping scoop. And something bitter comes out. You're like, oh, an acquired taste, perhaps. All right? But you tasted it for yourself and you realize, I'm not going back to that. You taste something else and you realize, whoa, that felt good in my body. I'm going to go back and get more of that. That's a physical thing, reality of duality. What's a spiritual equivalent to walking? We see where he's leading us. We read the scriptures. We know what he's commanding us to do. We know he's teaching us how to live. And you say, I think I'll try that out. I think I'll try that part out. I'm not ready to do that one yet. It's a little too scary for me. So you're walking through the spiritual buffet. And you're picking and choosing what you think you want from God. But friends, in this buffet, everything is good for you. And until you taste it, you won't be satisfied. Okay? How are we getting there? I'm going to confess something to you today before we close. Personally, I struggle with lots of different sorts of, all sorts of anxiety. Okay? I suffer with all sorts of anxiety. I need to know, I have to have all the answers before I go, you know, I go down to watch a Raptors game. I need to know, where am I going to park? How much is parking? What's the easiest route to get to the stadium from where I'm parking? And I plan everything out. You know, I even go on Google Maps, you know, and they have these aerial views. And I want to check to see so I could have visible landmarks. Because GPS, it's too late. How do I say? It's too in the moment for me. By the time he says turn left, I already passed it. So that's the sort of anxiety I struggle with, all right? Another one, my wife makes fun of me all the time, you know. We go to Walmart or the grocery store or to our chiropractor's office or where else do we go? That's about it. And whenever I go to these places, I park in the same spot. And my wife teases me. She's like, what? Are you back in your spot again, Tim? Feel safe there? I'm like, I'm not that inflexible. I could park somewhere else. I just prefer this spot. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Another example of my anxiety. This is a hard one, guys. I go to the drive-thru. Tim Hortons drive-thru, and I got six kids in the back and my wife beside me. So that's a full van. And everybody wants something. Everybody wants to order something. And they start yelling out what they want. Oh, I'll have this, I'll have that, you know. Dude, if I know I'm leaving the house, my son has a similar anxiety. He's like, Dad, where are we going? How long are we going to be? When are we getting back? All right, I say, we're going to go get a treat. He goes, okay, great. So Tim Hortons, I said, yes. What do you guys want? Before I leave the house, we're in the driveway. The van's packed. Okay, guys, what are you ordering? I have to get their order before I come up to the speaker. I rationalize and say, I don't want the workers waiting for me to give the order. But I feel this pressure when I get to the speaker. Is that it? Is that it? Anything else? Anything else? Dude. And then the kids start yelling over. I'm like, I'm not giving them the opportunity to say what they want. Daddy's at the, I'm the one that gets to speak. Okay? So that's my anxiety. My wife tries to stretch me. And she'll say, oh, just start the car, Tim. We'll get going, and I'll decide on the way there. This is me. Do you want something hot or something cold? Yeah. Oh, something cold. Oh, okay. Iced coffee, ice cap, what do you want? Is something fruity? I don't know. And she goes, you know, I don't know yet. Maybe just get me a tea. I'm like, that's hot. All right? And she plays with me. Sometimes she'll wait till I get to the order, to the panel, the menu board, and I'm like, honey, I'm going to order you what I want to get you, okay? Because you didn't tell me order. The worst is when I'm ordering everything that was pre-planned. And then she says, she's whispering at this side, oh, how about this? Tavi wants that. Oh, get this. I'm like, what? What? The guy on the speaker is louder than my wife, and anxiety, it just blows my mind, okay? And it's difficult for me to break out of that. I'll be honest with you. It's difficult sometimes for me to break out of that. It's normal. I'm not alone. You guys like that too?
Amen.
All right. See, when we confess and we pray for each other, man, it unifies the body, hey? Confession, start practicing it. It's a good thing. Now, you know what? I'm not that inflexible, and I just want to use that as an example, okay, for what it's like when I have to give up control, when I have to start letting God lead, because you know what? Where he's taking you, it's someplace you've never been before, and he wants you to enjoy that ride with him, and he's going to teach you lessons along the way, just like my wife tries to stretch me. Sometimes it feels like God is playing games with you, all right? You've already confessed something, and then why do I keep getting presented with these opportunities to go back to what was? God allows you those opportunities to be faced with your challenges, your temptations. It doesn't mean that he's left you. He's like, hey, here's a chance. You want to trust me? Check this out. Pornography, alcoholism, drug addiction. Check this out. More money. Busty ladies. Whatever it is, right? Oh, look at this. Nice car, and you could afford it. But you're going to go hungry, you know? So it's like all these opportunities come up. And he allows those opportunities so that you can learn to trust him and say, I'm okay with saying no to myself and saying, yes, God, I'll have what you're having. I'll have what you're giving. Let me receive only from you, not from this world. Now, I said earlier that I struggle with anxiety, and that's true. But anxiety does not control me. That's why I struggle with it. It's a constant reminder that I need God, and I could go to him when I'm having these big panic attacks. Okay? And he's settling more than just my nerves. What he pours out over me, friends, it's shalom. His shalom, his perfect, complete, and whole peace that you can't understand unless you've experienced it. I cannot express what that's like. But friends, when you start operating from this place of shalom, no matter what little tricks, be it the drive-thru, somebody's in your parking space, whatever it is, you know that you're good and God's got you. The invitations today, rest, drink, come sacrificially, it's all one big invitation. An invitation to trust him. An invitation to step into a trusting experience of who he is. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and unique son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but rather so that through him the world might be saved. Those who trust in him are not judged. Those who do not trust have been judged already, in that they have not trusted in the one who is God's only and unique Son. It's an invitation to trust. Do you trust that God loves you? Go back to the beginning of that verse. For God so loved the world that he paid the price so that you have a spot at that table. Do you trust that? Before we close, there's something else in that envelope you get in the invitation. I love this. Okay. The directions. How do we get there? All right. I told you about my GPS and all that stuff. No. Check this out. Knowing the way to get there. At Yeshua's last meal with his disciples, this is what he shared with them. He was calming their anxiety. He was calming their worry because he knew that he was going to be arrested and crucified soon, but he wanted to leave a comforting last few words with his disciples there. John 14, 1-7. Don't let yourselves be disturbed. Trust in God and trust in me. In my Father's house are many places to live. If there weren't, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. Since I am going and preparing a place for you, I will return and take you with me so that where I am, you may be also. Get that? He doesn't just give you directions. What does he say? I'm coming back to get you. You don't need Uber. I'm coming back. I'll pick you up and we're going together. Okay? What does he say next? Furthermore, you know where I'm going and you know the way there. Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And I'm sure you've heard this verse before. Yeshua says, I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Because you have known me, you will also know my Father. In fact, from now on, you do know him. In fact, you have seen him. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey today. I don't know if you have answered the invitation that God has over your life. All right? If you think that you're self-sufficient and you're okay as you are, and you don't want to budge, you don't want to take a step closer to God today, that's on you. That's your choice. And he gives you that choice. He'll never force you to come and party with him. He'll never force you to come and share a meal with him. He wants you to come willingly, just as he willingly gave himself to be with you. You see, trust, it's not something that needs to be, you know, we always say, oh, trust has to be proven. Trust has to be earned. We could dance around it. But this trust that God is saying, he's like, listen, you know what? I'm confident in myself. I know what I have to offer. This is what I'm giving you. Take it or leave it. Trust in me and we'll be good. Trust in me and we'll go the mile. One more thing. Beginning of my marriage with my wife, Beverly. She took my invitation to marry me. She said, yes, I'll marry you. I'll be your wife forever. Great. And then, within that first year, everything went to hell. Eh? Everything went to hell. You know why? Trust issues. She couldn't respect me. She couldn't trust me. I said, honey, listen. Sometimes I don't trust myself. I'm not asking you to trust me. It hurts me to know that you don't respect me. It hurts me to know that you can't trust me, but I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to trust in God as I'm trusting in God. And wherever he leads us, there will be. We didn't force our life. We didn't try and create it ourselves. We didn't try to save our own marriage. We just submitted and surrendered everything to God. We let go of the control because we had none. And we said, God, take it. Because we trust in you. And that's a hard thing to do. Whatever you're struggling with today, if you're struggling and you're weary, God has an open invitation for you. if you're in a spiritually dry place and you're parched, God has an invitation to quench your spiritual thirst. He invites you to follow him sacrificially. And he's inviting you to trust in Yehovah God, trust in Yeshua. That's the whole point of the scriptures, my friends. He wants to reveal himself to you so that you can learn to trust him. That's it. He puts his whole heart out for you to see through the scriptures. Won't you take time to get to know him? Won't you take a step closer to know him? Spend time and listen to his text messages that he's given through his word. You know, we have a family chat on WhatsApp, and everybody just shares whatever's on their mind that they want to share on there. It's called the Corpus Clan WhatsApp group chat. And we're all separated. We all got our own lives. Some are in school, some are working, some are at home, some are homeschooling, whatever. But wherever we are, we'll just share whatever's on our mind. When we want to invite, that's where we go, and we just share. And I take the time to read everybody's messages. I don't want to miss anything because I'm part of that. I love my family. I care about what they care about. Even if I don't agree with everything that they're sharing, I'm going to care about where they're coming from. Do you love God enough to go through his text messages to you? Do you care about what he cares about? Do you love what he loves? Do you hate what he hates? Are you keeping in step with him? That's it. He's inviting you to trust him. How are you going to do that? Get to know him. Get to know his heart. He says, I'm not looking at your outward appearance. I look at the heart. And he expects us to do the same thing with him. Don't look at the religious things that we see in the world. Don't look at the physical things that break us apart. You know, in modern Christianity, do you know how many different denominations there are? 41,000 different denominations and ministries and all that stuff, separate from each other. We're supposed to be one body, yet we are broken up in 41,000 different denominations and ministries. Something's not right. When the world looks and sees, oh, wait, I thought you guys were all Christians. Why are you all separated from each other? Why do you hate everybody? Where was I going with this one? It's an invitation, friends, to not lean on your own understanding, but trust in him. And he'll reveal, and he'll lead you, he'll show you. I can't tell you how to live, I can't tell you what to choose, but I am here extending the invitation to you, and I'm saying come, just come. He's waiting for you. Amen? Let's all stand together.